Thank you, Professor Tony Ingraffia, for appearing this morning. Would you please start by just identifying yourself and your credentials?
My name is Dr. Tony Ingraffia. I am the Dwight C. Baum Professor of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Cornell University, Emeritus.
Thank you. So you are very involved, your years of research in looking at different kinds of energy. In fact, to start, maybe you could mention just a couple of maybe key publications that would give people a little bit more of an idea of your area of research. Could you do that?
Yes. So for about the first 25 years of my professional career at Cornell, I worked with the oil and gas industry in areas relating to hydraulic stimulation, sometimes called fracking, in order to increase the productivity of oil and gas wells. I had many publications during that period of time with industry scientists and engineers. I then began a different path in my career in the early 2000s, in which I took my research and my graduate students in different directions. By about 2005, I began to see what the industry intended to do with shale. And I realized that the industry had discovered something that they had not known when I was working with them in the late 1900s, and that is how to get oil and gas out of shale using what's called unconventional methods. At that point, I realized that for many reasons, this was not a good way for the industry or for the country to go. I knew from my experience that to get gas out of that shale, the industry would have to invent entirely new combinations of old technologies to stimulate the production of gas and then after that oil out of shale formations. And these technologies would have tremendous impact, environmental impact, health impact, and most importantly for everybody, climate impact. And about that time, I began to do additional research on those impacts, and that resulted in a number of key publications, the first of which was in 2011, a decade ago this year, in which colleagues of mine and I at Cornell published a paper that became very controversial very quickly. And it said that from the climate perspective, the worst of all fossil fuels was not coal, was not oil, it was natural gas. Because of its impact from methane emissions, natural gas is mostly methane, and some of it leaks or is purposefully vented into the atmosphere by the oil and gas industry. And methane, as is well known in the scientific community, is a much more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. So the advent of production of gas and oil from shale was proverbially burning our climate candle from both ends. It was producing vast new quantities of fossil fuels that, when burned, produce carbon dioxide. That's inevitable. But it was also producing methane. And carbon dioxide and methane taken together are by far the most important greenhouse gases. We followed that paper with what we considered to be what-if papers. If we stop producing oil and gas from shale, how are we going to keep the lights on and the house is warm and the car is running? And so we began to look at what's now being called the energy transition away from fossil fuels and towards an almost all renewable energy economy. So we published key papers that focused first on New York State, then on California. And then my colleagues involved in those papers went on and continued to do such studies for every state in the country and ultimately almost every country in the world. In the meantime, I continue to do publications relating to shale gas production. There are three key papers, each of which focused on methane emissions, both accidental and purposeful, resulting from the drilling process, resulting from the production process and resulting from the transportation process of natural gas, AKA mostly methane. So that set of papers is my trail from where I was in the 1980s and 90s, which is assisting the oil and gas industry, to where I am today, which is trying to decrease, slow down as quickly as possible, and eventually eradicate production of oil and gas from shale formations.
Thank you. So my understanding is that methane is very damaging, especially in a short period of time, but because it dissipates quicker than CO2, tackling methane now would have the biggest impact on the climate crisis. Is that true?
That is absolutely scientifically true, correct, and factual. In fact, in our 2011 paper, my colleagues, Bob Howarth and Renee Centurio, said exactly that. We said that whereas the rest of the world seemed to be focused on a 100-year period of judgment for greenhouse gas, whether it be carbon dioxide, methane, or any other greenhouse gas, we felt that that was inappropriate, given the imperative of the rapid increase in climate change we were seeing even 10 years ago. And we advocated for a shorter period of time to judge the effectiveness of various greenhouse gases, especially methane. And at that point in time, the US government and most international entities were judging methane on the basis of we have 100 years to worry about this problem. Well, here we are today, 2021. And for those of you who have been following the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, its most recent report, published earlier this month, said exactly what we were saying then. The last remaining dial, knob, rheostat, control on climate change available to us is control of methane, for the reason that you just stated. Carbon dioxide, once it gets into the atmosphere, is there for thousands of years. If we were to stop emission of all carbon dioxide on the face of the earth today, it would have no effect on changing climate for the foreseeable future, certainly in our lifetimes and the lifetimes of our children. But if we were to drastically reduce methane emissions, both accidental and purposeful, we would have an immediate impact. And it's according to the IPCC and the thousands of scientists and engineers who wrote that report, the only remaining hope we have of keeping climate warming, global warming, below or close to the 1.5 degree centigrade mark is to drastically reduce methane in the atmosphere.
Well, then let me ask you if you could give your expert opinion on the importance of banking institutions, and especially Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase, because it is the largest funder of fossil fuel projects, including oil, gas, not much coal, but a lot of oil and gas projects around the country and other places as well. Do you think that they bear some responsibility for where we find ourselves at this point?
Absolutely, yes. The oil and gas industry, especially the shale oil and gas industry, does not pay for itself. Every time a new shale gas well is drilled, it costs the company that drills it, the operators, something between $10 and $20 million. They borrow that money from big banks. Big banks take our investments, your investment, my investment, our savings, our retirement plans, and they turn that money into shale gas and oil wells. And for reasons I just said, we can't keep doing that. We have only about a decade left to have substantial reductions in both methane and carbon dioxide quantities in the atmosphere. And the only way to do those reductions is to drastically reduce the drilling for and the production of and the burning of and the emission of greenhouse gases from oil and gas. So banks like the one you just mentioned, and all the others that are the big loan agencies, are exacerbating, aiding, and abetting climate catastrophe. It's an immoral investment of our money by them in the continuing development of the oil and gas industry.